Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
One last go-around, boys. Here we go. It's BetMGMU alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. The first round is in the rearview mirror. The college football playoff and the quarterfinals on the horizon. How did we think it went with that first round? What do we expect to happen in the quarterfinals? Why is Choppy typing so quickly? And was he in Detroit with a blue wig on yesterday? Important questions will be answered in the next hour. We'll take care of you. Get you ready for not just the quarterfinal round. We'll make some predictions about how we think the rest of the bracket plays out as well here on BetMGMU. And yes, I'll say it. It's the final edition of BetMGMU as the reincarnation of the network happens under the Westwood One Sports flag. This is the final time you'll get the three of us together unless we happen to bump into each other on the street, which is extremely difficult since one of us is in Dallas, one of us is in Memphis, and the other is in Pittsburgh. But crazier things have happened, so we'll see where it goes from here, boys. Let's go out with a bang, though. Unlike Texas A&M, and let's start there. If we're going to go over the four first-round games, I think we should start with the ugliest one. Texas A&M losing to Miami 10-3 at home in College Station. An ugly win for the Hurricanes, no doubt, John. But Carson Beck, as average as he was, he didn't play at a particularly high level, didn't make the key mistakes that Marcel Reed did. A fumble and two interceptions, including one on the final play of consequence as the Aggies were driving to try and tie it up. So Miami wins outright as 3.5-point dogs on the road, and we go way under the 48.5-point total. What'd you take from this one, other than it may have been the ugliest college football playoff game we've ever seen and may ever will see?
That, like, midway through the third quarter, no matter who wins this game, they're going to get absolutely
waxed.
I was trying to think of a way to say that, but it was just a horrific game overall. Somebody had to win it, but it was just a really, really disgusting, boring. I mean, I was really ready to fire both teams into the sun, quite honestly. Miami just made, you know, fewer mistakes, I guess you would say, than A&M, although they made their fair share. Look, it's great for Miami, Florida to get that win, be relevant again. Obviously, it's a storied program, but I don't know. I don't come away from it feeling like they're about to achieve anything beyond this. It feels like their road ends.
Yeah, I came away from this. You know, we had the TCU Horned Frauds, and then, you know, we had the lean, North Texas Lean Green. These are the A&M Gaggies. They gagged all over the place. That's what they did. This was a disgusting, abysmal game, abysmal performance. They should be embarrassed. The conference should really throw them out. You can't get this game had more missed field goals in the first half than actual points. It was an awful game, an awful performance. And, you know, look, if we looked at this more closely, we probably should have seen it coming. Because A&M did not, for some reason, the only SEC team in history that didn't actually play anybody during the regular season. They didn't play Georgia. They didn't play Alabama. They didn't play anybody. They didn't have a single win in conference against a team with a winning conference record. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, we should have seen it, but we didn't. This is a disaster. John's right. This is whoever won this game was going to be the sacrificial lamb Ohio State. Yep. What an awful game. I don't want to see it ever again.
We'll get into Miami taking on Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. Somehow that number has come down within 10. It opened up at 10 and is now down to 9.5 in some spots. We'll talk about whether Miami can do better than 278 total yards against the Buckeyes defense, number one in the country, in just a couple of minutes. The Friday night game, Bama upsets Oklahoma after being down 17-0 in the first quarter. And we kind of called this, guys. We knew it was just going to come down to which quarterback made the biggest mistakes. And John Mateer made the biggest mistake. I mean, there were a number of them. There was a drop pass. It was a sequence of events late in the second quarter. A drop pass on what would have been a massive conversion. Then you got the punter just dropping the ball on a snap. And then you got Mateer's pick six. You roll it all up and you take a team that had all the momentum at home, and then all of a sudden the air was sucked out of the stadium and Alabama just took care of business from there, and it didn't feel like Oklahoma really had a shot at all once things pivoted towards the tide, John.
Yeah, that was a really bad look for Brent Venables, who, you know, has a reputation as a bad big game coach and really showed it in this game. I mean, I guess you could say there was that touchdown and make it 27-24, but you still kind of didn't feel like Oklahoma was going to be able to get on the right side of this thing. And I'll even go back to the end of the first half. You know, Oklahoma's up, you know, 17-0, and I guess it got tied up there. And Oklahoma's got the ball at the 50, you know, with timeouts left, and they they call a play, they get it some positive yardage, and they go down in bounds. But rather than use the timeout and just take a shot, give yourself a shot at you know, trying to create some good vibes and momentum going into the half, he just lets the clock run out with timeouts. And it's just like, dude, you've got the ball at the 50. Alabama's getting the ball at the second half. Why are you not at least taking a shot? Maybe you get a penalty, maybe you know, anything can happen in this game. And he was just content to go into half. And I just kind of think that's a reflection of him. You know, I think he's too conservative to ever win big at that level. And obviously, you know, that really cost him in this game.
Yeah, that's defensive coaches in general, right? They're always on the, they always kind of err on the conservative side because, you know, they're like, hey, they trust in their side of the ball. And that's just, I mean, good luck, but what an end to this game for them, because I mean, again, they were completely in control of this one. There's a reason we call them 0-U, not OU, 0-U, because they put up, I was basically a big zero after the first part of this game. And, arguably the worst pass I've ever seen, the pick six, not ever, but somebody was in the wrong. Either Mateer read the play wrong or the receiver read it wrong, because that DB was cooked. Based on what the wide receiver did, that DB was absolutely cooked. But Venables you gave a lot of credit this year for turning this thing around, and it all ended in this one fail swoop in this game and basically the last 2.5 quarters. And I feel really happy for Kalen DeBoer because he would have felt the ire. I mean, that thing was piping towards 31-10 and a blowout, and Oklahoma moving on, and DeBoer getting fired and being the coach at Michigan. But that's not going to happen now.
Yeah. At a certain point in the first quarter, I wondered if Kalen DeBoer's agent was just booking a flight directly to Ann Arbor after the game and letting the team go back to Tuscaloosa, but they turned it around, and now that ship has sailed. Kenny Dillingham has re-signed at Arizona State as well, or signed an extension, I guess I should say. So Michigan is, they're in a dark room with no idea how to get out at this point as far as their coaching search goes. Let's go to the two late games where we had big favorites against group of five teams. Ole Miss covers the 17.5 against Tulane. Absolutely dominant from start to finish. Let off the gas a little bit in the second half. But for the most part, you know, when you score in, 59 seconds on three plays to open the game and just kind of take off from there, nearly 500 yards of offense for the Rebels, 10 yards per attempt, 4.5 yards a carry. They won turnovers 3-1 as well. And then Oregon didn't end up covering the three-touchdown spread against JMU. The Dukes got a backdoor cover, but Oregon was even more dominant. It was 34-6 at half. 514 yards of offense, 7.7 yards of carry, one despite turning the ball over twice, John, and they lost time of possession by 11.5 minutes. It didn't matter. They just hit big play after big play.
Yeah, I mean, those games went like we talked about. I mean, Tulane was over before it started. Yeah. And we talked about that. I mean, whereas you have Ole Miss that basically, you know, has, you know, they've hired their defensive coordinator. So there's a lot of continuity and a lot of reason for those guys, even with the departure of Lane, to still play hard. You know, Tulane didn't do that. He's kind of coaching, John Summerall is coaching two teams right now, trying to balance both. His father sadly died the night before the game or two nights before the game. So obviously, you know, his head's in and heart's in a million different places. And then you're just outmatched, right? You're just outmatched physically. And you know, we talked about that first half. I think we all liked the first half. Everything cash on Ole Miss. Does that mean that you know, we need to ban group of five teams? I don't think so. I think you're going to get into the Sherman Antitrust Act when that happens. But I do understand that this is mostly going to be a bye week most years for the Power Five team that's on the other side, and that's fine. I'm sure they're not complaining. I'm sure the you know, Ole Miss isn't complaining today about having moved on and Oregon having moved on in the playoff and, you know, gotten essentially a free pass to do so. But yeah, I mean, that wasn't a fine moment for the group of five or group of six. There's no question about it.
Look, I don't know who the Sherman guy is, but he's ruining college football. I'll tell you that. Whatever this Sherman dude has anything to do with it. I don't
text
know.
You off the air.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever. They get Tulane gets in, JMU gets in. These games suck anyway. Let's be fair. We've had 15 playoff games, 12 of them double digits. These games stink. College football doesn't lend itself to upsets anyway. This isn't the basketball tournament where one team gets hot from three and the other team can't hit from three, and all of a sudden it's a 14 beating a three seed. That happens. That happens. It's not going to happen in football. The 12th overall seed is a three seed in the NCAA tournament basketball. Three seeds have won like four times. It don't even happen there. So, you know, the games stink anyway. If they want to let a G5 in, fine, whatever. It doesn't matter. Do I think that Texas or Oregon, I'm sorry, or Notre Dame or Vandy gives Oregon a better chance or Ole Miss a better chance? Yeah, you know, but unfamiliar road environments are brutal anyway. Do we really expect, you know, Vandy to go into Oregon or, you know, Texas lost to Florida. They lost by 25 to Georgia. Like, do we expect them to go in there and win anyway?
So let me ask you guys this, because last year, obviously, the theme was the top four seeds sat around, didn't get to play in the first round, and they paid for it. Now, two of them weren't from power conferences, right? Boise and Arizona State. And Arizona State had a hell of a game in that quarterfinal. But they all got bounced. Do we think that this year's top four seeds are going to struggle with the 3.5-week layoff, John, the way last year's did?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's necessarily any reason to believe that it would just always be that way. Like, I think last year's, you know, home teams were 4-0 in the first round against the spread. Obviously, that changed a little bit with A&M and Oklahoma. So I don't know. I think, you know, it's the sample size is so small that it's hard to just assume it will always be that way. So I don't know. I tend to believe that, you know, the bye week will ultimately over time serve those teams better than the alternative.
Yeah, the bye week is – the problem with the bye week is just it's so long. We're talking about a month. And, yeah, there's no – I don't think there's any coincidence that they went 0-4 last year. Because even in the NFL, we'll see a team, you know, get picked off all the time. I mean, Detroit happened last year, right? They were the one seed. They got picked off. They get, you know, you get a week off, and it's the same thing with work. You know, the NFL's got a stat. I think home teams are a favorite off a bye since like the 2020, or you have a losing record. You go on the bye week, you go on vacation. All of a sudden, you get back to work. You're like, wait, what am I supposed to do here? You know, you're still on vacation mode. So, and it's even tougher when it's a month. That's too long.
That's what. And there's, I think, I don't know about Miami, Ohio State. We'll get into all four of these quarterfinal games in a second. But I do think it's a really valuable question when we talk about maybe Bama, Indiana, certainly Oregon, Texas Tech, which is the closest matchup of these upcoming four games, and maybe even Ole Miss, Georgia, because not only do you have one team coming off a bye and another one going through everything they did with their coach leaving, but also they're familiar with each other, right? They played back in October. We'll get into all four of those games, how we expect the quarterfinals to go down, more thoughts on those top four seeds as well. Next, right here on BetMGMU.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin, I'm Chris Mack. We wrapped up just a moment ago talking about those top four seeds. Do we suspect the long layoff will affect them the same way it affected the top four seeds in last year's college football playoff? And we can take it game by game before we wrap up. We'll give you some of our favorite bets and predict our brackets now that we're in the quarterfinals. Who do we have as national champs and how do we see it playing out over the next few weeks on the final edition of BetMGMU? Thanks for joining us. Let's start with New Year's Eve, Cotton Bowl. Miami against Ohio State originally opened right around 10. I think I may have seen a 10.5 out there. We're down inside of 10 in a lot of spots now, John, at 9.5, which is odd to me because, as you said, and I think a lot of people were thinking the same thing as the A&M game was playing itself out, the thought was, oof, neither one of these two teams is going to be able to hang with the Buckeyes. Miami's offense was just atrocious outside of Mark Fletcher Jr., who accounted for, I want to say, like 60% of their total yards on offense in College Station. They were only 3 of 12 on third downs. And this Ohio State defense won across the board. Points per game, yards per game, passing yards per game. Now, the Miami defense, also one of the best in the country. So I guess the question is, can they drag this game down into the mud the same way the A&M game played out, maybe force a key mistake from Julian Sain or someone else on the Buckeyes offense and capitalize on making it a plodding, ugly game the way the opening round game was? Or is that just a ridiculous notion because this Ohio State team is just too damn good?
Yeah, I mean, that's their path, right? I mean, their path is to definitely limit possession, slow this game down, and muck it up. You know, I do think Ohio State kind of wants to do the same thing. To be honest, they're just better. They have better players. But I think ultimately Carson Beck is going to make mistakes. I just do. I think that's coming in this game. And, you know, I trust the power rating over the course of a season with Ohio State here. Obviously Ryan Day is a championship winning coach, and you're talking about a spread here and it's the great equalizer. So is there a world where Miami can keep this within one score? Of course, but I would just never bet it. I would never bet Miami here. I hated how they looked against A&M. Now they're going to have to, you know, come up against a much better team here in Ohio State by about tenfold. So, cause I mean, if you think if we're breaking down the A&M situation, you look at, you know, what they actually were this year. They were simply a product of a very weak schedule. The only team they played in the top half of the SEC was Texas, and they lost. The rest of it was just, you know, feeding on the lower half of the SEC. So it's going to be a different beast when they go up against Ohio State.
Different beast. The home, obviously, going on the road to Kyle Field it's difficult enough. I mean, it's a very tough place to play. You know, the thing you got to look at with Ohio State, they played two really tough opponents this year, and they were low scoring. You know, the Texas game and the Indiana game, you're looking at, you know, a combined score of fewer than 25 points. That's the avenue. And I think it can happen. I think it can happen because, you know, Ohio State, when they've played top competition, has shown us that they can get drawn into these muck it up kind of games. It would not surprise me if that's the avenue that has to be taken. And that's the avenue that they do take. Also, I mean, look, it's these games you get into like I said, a month off and everything changes. Your timing is off. It's a little bit different. Maybe you get winded, gassed a little bit more. So 9.5, 10 points. It's a lot. It's a lot for me to have to sit here and lay. I might be tempted on Miami.
Yeah. And I think if we suspect that Miami's able to get that sort of game script going that we're talking about, and Beck does avoid mistakes for the most part, as he did against A&M, and maybe the under is just the play. If it's sitting there 41.5, 42.5, it's a way to play both sides here and not worry about how it turns out and just count on two really good defenses showing up. That might be an angle on this one. New Year's Day, the first game of a triple header in the college football playoff, kicks off at noon Eastern in the Orange Bowl. This is the one that is the tightest matchup. Number 5, Oregon, laying 1.5 against number 4, Texas Tech. The total sits in the low 50s, which might be a little surprising because you've got two really good defenses. I mean, both of them are top 5 in a lot of metrics as you look at it. Texas Tech, best in the country in rushing yards allowed per game as well. Now, you've also got, John, two very good offenses, right? Both teams have shown that they can be explosive on offense. That'll be the interesting part for me, is how does Texas Tech create explosives against an Oregon secondary that has been the best in the country most of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to think about Oregon. Because they really haven't beaten a great team this year. They haven't beaten a quality team. I mean, they played Indiana on October the 11th. They lost at home. You know, Penn State, you held on for dear life. And we know what Penn State went on to do shortly after that loss. They beat Iowa, okay, 18-16. Everybody, you know, that's been the final score in every Iowa game since 1965. and you waxed USC at home, which, of course, you were going to do. So I don't know. Like I would like to maybe bet Oregon here, but I haven't seen enough from them against quality opposition that makes me want to do it. And then, Texas Tech, listen, it's a lot of the same there, although you could say they beat BYU twice. And the Big 12 was a little down this year, but they did beat BYU twice and pretty handily. So I probably, all things considered, would have to play Texas Tech given just the bodies of work.
Man, they should have let Vegas put these brackets and these teams in order. If you're going to get a team that wasn't the higher seed being the favorite in this one, yeah. Like I struggle with Texas Tech. They got a lot of talent, it's very expensive talent, but like remember at the end of the day, BYU is what? They beat BYU twice, but what is BYU? I don't know what BYU is. They're a team that barely got by Utah. I don't know what Texas Tech is. Oregon, I have an idea, but I still don't know. This game that they just played didn't give us any data points. Barely beating Penn State when Penn State was still what? The USC game, losing to Indiana. I don't know, man. I think if they're 7 points from Indiana, what would Indiana be favored over Texas Tech right now? 9, 10, eight? I don't know. Like if they're legit 7 away, I mean, maybe that transitive property would give me the Ducks over Tech. But this is one of those wild ones. I don't know. I have a great feel on this because I don't think we know a lot about either team.
Yeah, both of them 8-1 to win the national championship right now on the board at BetMGM, but definitely the closest matchup of the four in the quarterfinals. After that, we'll have the Rose Bowl, 1 Pacific kickoff out in Southern California. The winner of the Oregon-Texas Tech game will face the winner of this game, 9th-seeded Alabama, getting nearly a touchdown in some spots, 6.5, 7, against number 1-seeded Indiana. Total sits right around 48.5. First Rose Bowl for the Hoosiers since 1968. They got the Heisman Trophy winner, Fernando Mendoza's 33 touchdowns to just 6 picks and 75% completion rate. They've also got the top rushing offense in the country as well, and their defense gave up just about 11 points per game behind only Ohio State this year. John, this is one of those games that I do wonder how the layoff affects the higher seeded team. Alabama, I don't think, is as good as Indiana, but Alabama comes in having just played Indiana nearly a month off, and I'm curious if that kind of cools off their momentum at all.
It could. I mean, you're sitting with that Ohio State win, obviously, and you've had a lot of time to bask in that and savor that. But I mean, I think I could get involved here at 7 against Alabama. I don't think Alabama is. Look, we talked about the Oklahoma game. I said I was going to begrudgingly bet Alabama because I didn't really believe in Oklahoma, and Alabama's down 17-0. You get down 17-0 to Indiana, good night. See you later. We'll move on to the next. So I do think they're a cut above here with Mendoza and Cignetti and everything they do. I mean, of course, I do think that edge rusher injury will matter at some point, but I don't think it will be this one. So I will be laying the 7 with Indiana.
It's a lot. It's uncharted territory for IU. It's a lot of points to give up. I kind of don't hate the total here at 48.5. I don't think this is a normal Bama defense. Obviously, like you said, the injury to the edge rushers and these offenses, can put up some points if they get cooking. And this is, the weather is not going to be a factor in this game. So I think the total might be something I would play. I don't hate the Bama plus 7. I don't love it. I wouldn't want to lay any juice with it. And that looks like what you're going to have happen. This is a mental block. Indiana is still just a mental block for me that they would be favored. I still have that block with them. And that's why I'm kind of hesitant to play against them either way, against or for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you get good Ty Simpson, it's within the 7. If not, then, if there's one mistake by Simpson that opens the door for IU on a short field to start to open things up a little bit. And if Indiana plays clean as they have more often than not this year, then it's IU by more than a score. But that's a big question for me, is what Simpson we get Do we get the good version of Ty Simpson or the version of Ty Simpson that showed up for the SEC championship game, in which case it would be completely different. Final game of the quarterfinals, just after 8 Eastern, they'll kick off in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss against Georgia. Georgia laying a little more than a touchdown here, 7.5. First meeting on October 18th in Athens was a massive comeback by Georgia. It was a, I would say, the same old story for the Bulldogs, but a very similar story for the Bulldogs. Kind of snoozed through the first half or so, first three quarters, really, and then all of a sudden come roaring back. Georgia was down by 9 after three quarters. Gunnar Stockton turns it on, throws 4 touchdown passes, ran for 1 as well. It was his best game of the year. Ole Miss did what they do. They came out of the gate hot, scored touchdowns on the first 5 possessions, but then didn't have a single first down in the fourth quarter. So the question here, John, can Georgia avoid another slow start against Ole Miss, or does it matter, I guess, given the way they were able to storm back in that game and several others this year?
I don't know. I mean, this is the one where I'm like, I think we've gotten carried away a little bit with the number here. I mean, Georgia did cover in that game thanks to a late field goal there from Kirby Smart. I mean, it didn't really matter, but they did get the kick for insurance because Ole Miss stopped them on third down. And I know that because I was on Georgia in that game, and I couldn't believe that I actually covered that game. I just think Ole Miss getting 7 here, I think this team is good to get behind. I do. I'm not saying that they win the game necessarily, but I mean, I know Lane's gone, but like Charlie Weiss is there. The defensive coordinator is now the head coach. You know, everybody else is basically there. The quarterback's still there. Like, these guys are motivated, man. I'm going to take the 7 points here with Ole Miss.
The motivation was the big sticky point for me because they're talented. It was just not, it was not even the motivation. It was like how prepared their attention to detail. You know, it's very difficult for the substitute teacher to come in and get the kids on the right path. They did. They passed the flying colors. Now it was Tulane. So there's that aspect of it. I like the under 56.5. You know, I think this thing comes in the low 50s. I don't know that I love the total, though. Like, the point spread. I don't like I don't think Georgia's that good. They're definitely gettable. But I don't know what Ole Miss is going to be like with another game to prepare for, more coaches being pulled in two directions, and then the competition, you're going up in weight class.
Yeah, and I'm curious, too, about the game script again on this one, because if Ole Miss doesn't get off to a hot start, I mean, that's what's really propelled them many times this year, especially in big games. They get off to a hot start, and then they're able to weather the storm. And if they don't get off to a hot start, does a Georgia slow start even matter then? And is Georgia able to take control in the second half? Again, they came back from 9 down in the final 15 minutes, the first time these two teams met. I agree that I don't like the spread, but I could also see this thing turning into a shootout and going over as well. So even at 56.5, I would eye up the over. But we'll tell you exactly who we have in each of these 4 games, straight up winning, and then where it goes from there, the semifinals and the national championship game as well. We will fill out our brackets, so to speak, for the quarterfinals and beyond, and also give you our national championship picks, plus any other bets that we like for this coming quarterfinal round of the CFP. All on the way next, right here on BetMGMU.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And for the final time, here we are. Alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin, I'm Chris Mack. Before we get to sort of picking our brackets, as it were, for the quarterfinals and beyond of the CFP and giving you our national championship picks and any other bets we have to wrap up here this week. We've been doing this together for almost 3 years now, guys? I don't know. It's been a long time. And it was one of those moments in the week that I think, even though we've all got different schedules, the three of us, like Choppy works mornings, John works middays, I work afternoons, we all got kids, we got a million things going on. It was one of those things that even though we struggled to fit it into our schedules to meet up and talk every week, it was one of those hours that we all look forward to every week. And I'll just say this without getting too sappy or anything like that. I've loved working with you guys. Our producer Zach has been great as well. And if this had been like a full 3 hour show on a daily basis or even weekly basis, I can only imagine the places we would have gone, if this show had room to breathe. But I think we had a hell of a lot of fun anyway, regardless, over the last few years. And if the opportunity ever pops up again for any of us to work together, I know I will quickly sign on the dotted line for probably less than market value, because it's just been so damn fun to do this show every week.
Sign me up, baby. There is no market value anymore. I'm in.
That's basically true.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Just keeps disappearing. All the market value. Yeah. It's been fun, man. We've gone through some iterations of the show. When I first started, it was just me and Chris. And then it became just me and RJ, and then Chris came back in. And it's been the three of us. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. And we all know the realities of the business the only constant in it is change. I mean, that's just the reality, but we all know that and we all live it every single day. But you know, I have a feeling that this won't be the last time that we're doing something together. So I look forward to the future for sure. Head up and eyes up, forward.
Baby. Let's get that YouTube channel going. We'll start working on it. Nobody's on YouTube. It's a brand new platform. You know, we can really kind of take
doing
advantage
sports
of
talk
the
on YouTube.
You guys,
yeah.
You guys heard about this YouTube frontier thing?
Yeah, let's go, baby.
So enjoy our final round of picks here before we wrap it up. Don't forget, if you want to take any of these picks, you could always take them and turn them into a nifty little parlay. Go find that parlay boost token inside your BetMGM app. Best way to turn things up for college football, especially with the quarterfinals and beyond in the CFP. Just plug in that parlay boost token inside your BetMGM app and get yourself a bigger payout when you do win. Let's take a look at these quarterfinals and beyond and just throw some things at the wall here and see how we expect they will stick in the quarterfinals and beyond. John, when you were out a couple weeks ago, RJ and I basically spent 45 minutes writing an audio love letter to the Texas Tech Red Raiders. So I'm going to stay on them at 8-1, not necessarily to win the national championship, but I love the value on the bet. And I think they beat Oregon. I think technically an upset, even though they're the higher seeded team. I think they beat Oregon. I'll go so far as to say I think their big playability and their opportunistic ability on defense pushes them past Indiana. I'll take Ole Miss for an upset, too, over Georgia before they lose to Ohio State. Yeah, let's get spicy here. I think your national championship game is Ohio State over Texas Tech. I know the Ohio State pick is fairly chalky, but I think we get a little Cinderella action, if you want to consider a four-seed Cinderella-ish. But I'll take Ohio State over Texas Tech, John. How do you see the quarterfinals and beyond playing out?
I don't know, man. I just feel like Indiana might be a team of destiny. Are they not a Cinderella in their own right? I know they're in the Big Ten, but come on, they were a doormat. Have they ever been anywhere close to a championship contender or even a real football program for any amount of time? I mean, I think this is pretty amazing, the transformation that they've undergone here under Kurt Cignetti. So plus 320, I'm going to buy the ticket and take the ride, as my man Sammy P would say.
Yeah, my thing with Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, there's just no value there, right? There's no value. Right. I'm looking for some value. I think if you were to tell me that I could just take a flyer on Oregon, Texas Tech winner, and then Alabama, I think I might do that just for a national title run, just because of the odds at 8-1 and 16-1. That's really only the value. That sits. I mean, you could get some individual value on the games. I think plus 200 for Bama against Indiana is pretty decent. You know, doubling up your money. I mean, this is by far the biggest game in the history of Indiana football. And this is like the, you know, for most of the guys at Alabama, this like the university. I mean, this is like just one of a million games. So this is such a huge, huge moment for them. And then you just wonder how they're going to be with a month off. So I actually like the Alabama 16-1 and then the Oregon, Texas Tech. I don't really have a great feel on that game individually, but I think the winner of that game is a real problem for everybody else.
Yeah. I love the Oregon, Texas Tech look because I do think that team, you know, as much as you point out, John, that Indiana has, I guess, Cinderella, as much as a undefeated team could be Cinderella, has Cinderella written all over them because of the history of the program. I'm just curious to see what happens. You know, Choppy also brought up the fact that this is uncharted territory for them. If they get that win in the Rose Bowl, right, if they beat Alabama and they go on to the semifinal against either Oregon or Texas Tech, is there any kind of air let out of the balloon? And that can happen in a positive way as much as a negative way. We've talked about it before with teams that all of a sudden realize their season is over or they're not going to make the playoff. You know, the air comes out of the balloon. I think of Georgia Tech at the end of the year after they lost to Pitt. I'll be curious. I don't think maybe the same applies to Vandy in their bowl game just because it's Pavia's last ride. But I think you see that a lot, and I'll be curious to see if it happens after a positive outcome. If Indiana wins against Alabama in the Rose Bowl, is there just a little bit of a sigh of relief? Like, hey, we got to a big game and we won it. And then what? I don't think it's likely given Kurt Cignetti and the way he approaches things, but I still think it's something you have to work against if you're the Hoosiers.
Oh, I mean, they're already doing it now. They were doing it in the Big Ten championship game, right? Being number two in the country. Nobody really expected them to win. Nobody expected them to be here. You know, Mendoza was a little talked about quarterback transfer from Cal. I mean, you know, the fact that they were even in this position at all to, you know, a month ago, you know, I think is it's been a battle all year long for that. But I think now that they're here, you know, I think they feel like we have a mission yeah, to complete. And I mean, look, the game's got to be played. I mean, everybody wants to win. I mean, Miami's saying that. You know, Miami's saying we got a mission. That's more believable from some teams than others. But yeah, I think Indiana's going to be, you know, psychologically fine where they need to be, you know, for the rest of this playoff.
Psychologically, I think that, yeah, I agree. I think they're fine psychologically. This game is everything. It's like, if they get by this one, this is one of those jumping off points where it's like, okay, here comes the run. They got to get by this, obviously, reset everything when it comes to having the time off and getting your feet under you again. And then really just the demons, you know, like mentally, sports are such a mental game anyway.
Let's get into our best bets, if we have any, for this weekend. I'm going to go with the over in Ole Miss and Georgia, 56.5. I just expect both teams are going to light up the scoreboard in that game. Ole Miss probably early. Georgia will probably storm back late. I still like Ole Miss to cover the 7, maybe even pull off the outright upset. We'll go with that at, what is it on the money line, 225? Sure, we'll put a little bit on that just to, like you said, John, buy the ticket to take the ride. I like Texas Tech getting 1.5 against Oregon. And I also like that Ohio State Miami under 41.5 as well. So those are my three plays going into the quarterfinal round. John, do you have any cooked up yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to be on Indiana -7. I'll be on Ole Miss +7. You know, I know it's not the sexiest in the world, but I'm gonna take the 7s just each way. Indiana -7, and then Ole Miss +7 against Georgia. I'm gonna keep it rolling with the Rebs.
I will roll with the over 48.5 in the Alabama Indiana game. I'll take Oregon -1.5. I need to see it. I need to see it from Texas Tech. I actually kind of think that Bama plus the, if I can get it at 7, I might do that. At 6.5, I don't love it. I think Indiana wins the game ultimately, but given a full touchdown, that's just begging for a backdoor there.
Whoa, watch yourself.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go out with a bang, baby.
A bang in the back door. Okay. Whatever you say, Chop.
You're 2025.
for a couple more days, it is.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So that's going to do it for the final edition of BetMGMU. Again, we can't thank each and every one of you who watched the show on a regular basis enough, whether it was on the BetMGM Network YouTube page, whether you downloaded the podcast, whether you listened live when you happened to be in the car on Friday nights or Saturday mornings in the Odyssey app. We appreciate each and every single one of you. We appreciate just the fact that we've gotten a chance to do this and have some fun with people who ordinarily we wouldn't get a chance to work with, being in 3 different locations all over the country and get different perspectives, from Choppy hating on the Group of 5 to John being an ardent champion of the Group of 5. We'll miss the arguments and the discussions. And I think, as Choppy said, you never know where we might end up together in the future as well. Things have a crazy way of happening in this business. So one final time for our producer, Zach Krull, for RJ Choppy, for John Martin, I'm Chris Mack. This has been BetMGMU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.